Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, January the 20th. Coming up, a Kent mum who lost her baby at 35 weeks pregnant is urging other parents to contribute to a national investigation into maternity services. Hear from a Kent MP who signed an open letter to the Prime Minister calling for a ban on social media use for under 16s, and find out which player will be staying at Gillingham until the end of the season. But first, investigations are underway today following reports a woman had her drink spiked while out celebrating her 21st birthday in Maidstone 10 days ago. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this story. Kate, what happened?
Well, teaching assistant Tia Jennings had gone to beer keller on Gabriel's Hill to celebrate her landmark birthday. She was with her mum and other members of her family when her behaviour started to change. The group decided to leave just before 10 p.m. after Tia had drunk around four drinks. Not long after they'd left the venue, Tia collapsed. She was initially helped by some nearby security staff before being collected by her mum's brother-in-law, who took them to Maidstone Hospital.
And what did medics say?
Tia's mum told us they checked her over and suggested she may have been spiked. So the following day, she went to the police station and provided a urine sample. It's understood the results of that test could take several weeks to come back.
And how has all of this left Tia feeling?
Well, according to her mum, the 21-year-old is terrified because she can't remember what happened to her, and it's left her very upset. She's told us they've spoken out to try to raise awareness. Meantime, police have told us they are carrying out investigations. Kent Online did approach Beer Keller for a comment on several occasions, but despite repeated calls, the venue's not responded.
Kate, thank you ever so much. Well, anyone with information can call Kent Police. The number's 01622 604 100. That's 01622 604 100. And the reference number to quote is 46/5631/26.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a retired police officer who sent inappropriate messages to someone he thought was a 14-year-old girl has avoided being sent to prison. Maidstone Crown Court heard Peter Gilmore was caught by online child safety campaigners before being arrested while on holiday in Devon. The 57-year-old, who has links to Ashford and Dover, also admitted making indecent images. He's been given a suspended sentence and ordered to do 120 hours of unpaid work. Head to Kent Online to see pictures of a man police are hunting following reports of an attack in Maidstone. One person suffered face and head injuries during the alleged assault in the High Street in the early hours of New Year's Day. A Dover man has been sent to prison for threatening and controlling his girlfriend. A court heard Daniel Harding physically abused his partner during their year-long relationship. He also controlled her finances and threatened to cut up her passport. The 34-year-old from Riverside in Millrace has been locked up for 33 months and has been made the subject of a five-year restraining order. Now, the mother of a teenager killed in a crash in Thanet says the number of people caught over the limit during a crackdown last month is shocking. 18-year-old Ethan Entwistle was a passenger in a car that hit a tree in Broadstairs in October 2023. The driver was more than twice the drink drive limit. Police stopped around 300 motorists for drink and drug driving offences in the county in December. Well, Nathan's mum, Keena, now tries to educate other young drivers, and she's been speaking to our reporter, Jerry Warren.
You have that accident, you can kill somebody, and the effects of it afterwards are just devastating. You lose a whole chunk of your life. You become a different person. And drink driving, if you kill someone, it doesn't just affect the family that have lost the person. It affects you, your family. The ripples are just so great. Why would anyone think of getting behind a big metal box after they've had a drink?
Now, there is a government proposal to reduce the drink drive limit, the amount you're allowed to drink. Is something you'd welcome, I assume?
Most definitely. Even before Ethan was killed, I can understand why people drink drive. I don't agree with reducing it. I think it should be zero tolerance. You drink, you don't drive.
Now, you live with the loss of Ethan every day, and I'm sure hardly a day goes by you don't think of him.
More like a minute, but yeah.
You try to spread the message, though, don't you? What have you been doing to spread the message to young people of what happens?
I've been to St. George's School, which is the secondary school that Ethan attended. I've spoke to their sixth form students there. I've also been to East Kent College, the Broadstairs campus, and spoke to students there about drink driving, speeding, about the need for the graduated driving licences. And I will continue. I've got other schools on my radar that I want to go in and talk to as well.
What's been the reaction by the young people when you tell them your story and Ethan's loss?
A lot of them you see fill with tears. You see them feeling, I think you'd probably say uncomfortable, because they realise that Ethan was actually a person. He wasn't a government statistic. He had friends, he had family, he had hopes and dreams, and it can just be ripped away. And I think for me going and speaking to them, it shows them that actually it can happen to anybody. I mean, one in five young people will crash their car in the first year of driving. So if you're in a room of 30 children, people, you say, okay, six of you are going to crash your car. And they look like one in nine of you could get killed. Which ones are we getting rid of?
You continue to spread your message to young people because you fear Ethan won't be the last.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, it's been 27 months. How many more young people have we lost in the last 27 months to road crashes? For either drink drivers, speeding drivers, drivers that aren't taking care on the roads.
Kent Online reports.
An inquest has opened into the death of a teenage girl in a house fire near Ashford. The home of 13-year-old Lily Childs caught alight on December the 28th in Ham Street. Another child and adult were taken to hospital. The coroner gave her cause of death as inhalation of fire fumes, but there will be further investigation. Fire bosses have confirmed the blaze is not being treated as suspicious. Water companies will be made to carry out infrastructure MOTs in future to prevent failures and ensure accountability. It's all part of a major shake-up announced today of the sector, which also includes a new watchdog. Now it comes as there are more supply issues in East Farley in Maidstone, with customers experiencing low pressure. South East Water have apologised and say they're working to restore supplies. Next today, and families in Kent are being asked to share their experience of maternity and neonatal care as part of a major national review. The call for evidence will be used to shape recommendations to improve services across the whole of England. Zoe Finn lost her son Carter when his heart stopped beating while she was 35 weeks pregnant. She's praised staff at the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford and is now encouraging as many people as possible to give evidence to the National Review. Zoe has been speaking to Lucy.
I think it's important that families speak up, because I think staff can only say a certain amount. I don't think staff will get... I think families will give a bigger impact to the bosses than staff, for example, because they'll just think, oh, the staff think that's what we need. Whereas families can say, this is the frame of mind I was in staying in this suite in. This is the care that wasn't so great. And, you know, this needs to be worked on. And this is the care that actually needs to be praised, because that care that we got should be the care that should be across the board. It shouldn't be any different. Why should our case be different from someone who's lost a baby at, I don't know, 7 weeks, 8 weeks? It shouldn't be. That's still a baby. You've still created that. The mother's still gone through all the changes, and the partner, you know, and the family members, they've all gone through that change. I just think it's so important that it should just be the same. It should be the same level across the board. And hopefully there should, you know, coming from the experience that we've had, other hospitals will say, actually, you know, that's what we aspire to be like. We, you know, like we don't want our families to go through the absolute worst thing ever and also have the worst care and stay in an awful place that's dirty, you know, that's not clean or that's not, you know, up to date. Because we have said that our experience wouldn't have been the same had we not had the level of care we had from those midwives and somewhere to stay. Like, imagine getting that news and then not being somewhere for you to stay. Like, that's just, I know some hospitals don't have like a bereavement suite, and that's just crazy. So I do think it's important that other hospitals are listening to, you know, members of the public, the families that have gone through those losses, because, you know, like, they have physically been in that. A nurse or a midwife has been in that situation with a family, but unless it's actually happened to them, you have no clue. You can't even think, oh, I can imagine what that feels like. You can't, there's no way that you can, because I used to feel like that. One of my friends had lost her baby, and I used to think, oh God, that must be horrendous. I can't express to you how worse than horrendous it is, like, actually living through it. And, you know, we're 10 months on now since we lost him. I've still got PTSD, and who gets PTSD? I think when people said they've got PTSD before, I'd be like, oh, okay. Now I'm like, okay, this is horrendous. You know, I can't go into busy places. Absolutely, like, freak me out. And I just think that we're getting counselling still. That's incredible that the NHS are providing that. That's absolutely, and it's so good for Tom and I to attend these together. So yeah, I do think the NHS it needs to be reviewed, and they need to see what hospitals it is working at and say, okay, this is what we need to adapt in our hospitals to make it easier for these families.
Kent Online reports.
A suspect has appeared in court less than 24 hours after police were called to reports of a man trying to break into a property in Herne Bay. A window at the house was smashed before a man was arrested nearby, and two screwdrivers were seized. A 61-year-old from Canterbury has been charged with several offences, including burglary. He's been remanded in custody. A major IT outage has been affecting GP practices across Kent and Medway. Clinicians haven't been able to access patient records while appointment systems were down. We're told patients are still likely to experience some disruption and phone lines will be extremely busy. Anyone with an urgent health concern was told to use NHS 111. Now, plans to build housing on the site of a former leisure centre in Swanley have been given the go-ahead. The old White Oak site was knocked down in 2021 and replaced with a building nearby. Developers now have permission to create 45 flats and 15 townhouses. None of them will be classified as affordable. Next today, the MP for Ashford has signed an open letter to the Prime Minister calling for a ban on social media use for people under the age of 16. Sojan Joseph is the only Kent MP to put his name to the letter. He's joined by 60 of his colleagues from across the country. Well, Sojan has been speaking to Chloe Brewster from our colleagues at KMTV about why the changes have his support.
With my background, working in the mental health for 22 years, I have seen a huge spike in mental health issues among young people. I was working in the mental health services until the day I got elected. And in the last 10, 15 years, the number of depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation among young people has increased significantly. I have had contacts from many parents in my constituency saying the social media has a huge impact on young people, so they're calling for me to support their campaign. I have specifically a couple of schools in my constituency, like John Wiley School, who has been put some the banning of smartphone while children are at school, has also expressed that significant improvement in children's ability to socialize while they're in the school. So that was really a good evidence-based call from the schools. Recently, I hosted a show in Parliament performed by the Generation Former from Kent. It was performed by young people, explaining about their experiences of what the smartphone and social media has done to them. So there were many reasons why I supported this call.
Now, this all comes as the government has announced it's consulting on rules similar to new ones that have been announced in Australia, which also includes designing apps to stop so-called infinite scrolling.
Kent Online News.
Campaigners from Kent were due at the High Court today as a legal challenge against plans for a second runway at Gatwick got underway. It's after the Transport Secretary gave approval last September for the airport to bring its northern runway into regular use as part of a £2.2 billion expansion. But campaigners say more flights will lead to an increase in noise for communities in the west of the county, which are directly under the flight path. I've been chatting to Sally Pavey, who's from Communities Against Gatwick Noise Emissions.
So at the moment, you've got one runway operating day and night. That won't change. What will change is you'll have two runways operating. So Kent gets predominantly arrivals. 70% of the time is arrivals coming over Kent. And they will continue to land on the main runway. They will not land on the new runway. And so what Kent will see is that there will be even more arriving planes. So if you've got 101,000 extra flights taking off, they've got to come back, and they will come back on the main runway. And so where residents see gaps in arrivals currently, they won't see gaps. And there'll be more concentration because of the modernisation of airspace is looking to bring arrivals into motorways. So concentrated routes, they haven't got them yet, but that is what is coming. And so it's really important for residents of Kent to understand the ramifications. And of course, that will continue during the night as well. There's a lot of talk about keeping planes higher for longer, but we haven't seen any evidence that this is a reality, especially when the airspace is busy. So you'll have two runways firing off departures during the day, so from 6:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night. But at the same time, that main runway will be taking all the arrivals coming back in to Gatwick Airport. So it's a significant increase in noise, and that really, really hasn't been addressed. And Kent will not receive really any financial benefits either. So the local authorities won't see any gold eggs at all. It's all negative for Kent, unfortunately.
This is huge. It's monumental. How do you feel? Can you sum up your feelings at the start of this, and how confident are you feeling, or do you not dare to think of the outcome at the end of it all?
Well, we won't really get to hear anything on Friday. We'll come out of it with our own opinions on what the judge is thinking. And we have to start from the pretense that the judge believes the Secretary of State and believes in Gatwick. So we've got to convince, and we fully support our King's Council. We've got Estelle de Hong. She's phenomenal, King's Council. So we have every faith in her and the legal team that supports her, other barristers, etc., and Lee Day, our legal team. But yes, we've got apprehension. It's a real landmark for Cagney that we've got here, and it is down to residents and charities and elected bodies that have donated to us. So we're very, very thankful to them, because otherwise we wouldn't be here, and Gatwick would be just going, happy days, let's build a new runway.
As you say, obviously you're presenting your evidence over the next 4 days. Do you know how long you will have to wait for a decision? I mean, judges can preside over things for quite a while, can't they, as they take it all in? It's going to be a lot for them to take in and assess. Do you have a time scale?
I think because this is one of the government's new styled judicial reviews, whereby they want things pushed through. A month, 2 months, I think, we'll find out. And then if it does go against us, we could go to appeal. If there are still legal grounds for us to go to appeal, we could go to appeal. And if we win, we could see Gatwick appeal.
The government say expanding Gatwick will boost investment and create thousands of jobs. A healthcare teaching clinic has opened up in a former B&B in Maidstone without planning permission. The European School of Osteopathy moved into the former Rock House Hotel in Tunbridge Wells before getting approval for the change of use. A retrospective application will be discussed by councillors next week. Concerns have been raised over the proposed operating hours of a new wedding and party venue in Gravesend. The old town hall has been taken over by a new team who want to open it up for events. They've also applied for an alcohol licence. Critics call the plans excessive and unreasonable. They'll be discussed by the council in the coming days. Meantime, plans for a new 3G pitch next to a school in Faversham have been given the go-ahead. The Abbey School applied for permission for the site last January as there's a surge in popularity of local youth teams. Despite concerns about noise, it's been approved and will include a spectator area, goal storage, floodlights and additional parking spaces. And finally, the Kent Online podcast has been told air quality has improved so much in two parts of Medway that a plan to tackle it has been scrapped. Air quality management areas were set up in Rainham and Gillingham in 2010 after tests found the amount of nitrogen dioxide exceeded safe levels. Well, a report revealed how measures like anti-idling projects and the school streets programmes have contributed to a reduction.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Lenny Cirino has signed a contract extension with Gillingham. The new deal keeps the left-back at the club until the end of the season, and the 22-year-old has been speaking to their media team.
There was no other place where I wanted to be. You know, the fans have been brilliant with me when I've played, and you know, all the boys are great, and I'm just happy to sign my extension.
Well, it sounds like you've enjoyed your time here. When you know, the manager, of course, when the deal was put forward to you, was it a bit of a no-brainer?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. This is the only place where I wanted to be. You know, the atmosphere is unbelievable in the dressing room, out the dressing room. Like, I couldn't make any other decision.
Staying with football, in Chatham Town have got an away fixture in the fifth round of the Women's FA Cup. They're the lowest ranked side left in the competition and will travel to take on WSL 2 side Birmingham City next month. London City Lionesses, who train near Aylesford, will host Tottenham. Elsewhere, the two Kent teams left in the FA Vars have both got home ties in the next round. Whitstable Town will take on Cockfosters, while Punjab United will face either Windsor and Eton or Fisher. The teams are just three games away from a trip to Wembley. And finally, in cricket, Kent have added to their squad as they make preparations for the new season. South African all-rounder Senyuran Muthusami is joining the county from the start of the T20 Blast campaign. The 31-year-old was part of South Africa's squad for their World Test Championship final in June. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.